Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
My name is Alan Stanford.
And welcome to Hamlet in Hoth. In Hamlet, in the play, the first thing we must discover is what must be revenged. And it is a twofold question. It is a death, but it is also a marriage. And the first thing we're going to examine is the question of that marriage.
Though yet of Hamlet, our dear brother's death, the memory be green, and that it us be fitted to bear our hearts in grief and our whole kingdom to be contracted in one brow of woe, yet so far hath discretion fought with nature that we with wisest sorrow think on him, together with remembrance of ourselves. Therefore, our sometime sister, now our queen, the imperial jointress to this warlike state, have we, as 'twere with a defeated joy, with an auspicious and a dropping eye, with mirth and funeral, and with dirge and marriage, in equal scale weighing delight and dole, taken to wife.
And that was Peter Robinson from St. Fintan's High School, who was reading Claudius for us. Now, there we also have the first problem. Not Peter, but Claudius. Claudius has married his brother's wife, which religion teaches is adultery. According to law and church, a man may not marry his brother's wife because she is his sister in law, and you can't marry your sister. So, Gertrude, Hamlet's mother, seems to have agreed rather quickly to this marriage. Within a couple of months, she has married him. Now, we must ask a question here. Hamlet lives in Denmark, a country surrounded by enemies, one of whom was Fortinbras, king of Norway, who had invaded and had been defeated by Hamlet's father, old King Hamlet. Young Prince Fortinbras is threatening to attack Denmark. Denmark loses its king at a time when it's under attack. The heir to the throne is a student in Wittenberg, hundreds of miles away. But sitting there in Denmark is a very astute political leader, the king's brother. And it is an elective monarchy. In other words, you don't inherit the throne by right because you were the king's son. The nation has to agree that you are, not the nation, because the ordinary peasants don't get a vote in this sort of thing, but all the lords, all the barons, everybody else agree you're going to be king. And they elect Claudius as king. Gertrude marries him because they want to make sure that everything is tight. Everything is agreed. Everything is cut and dried. She has a choice. You can become the dowager queen living in a cottage, or you can stay queen of the country and live in the palace. I know which I'd choose. Not to be queen, but I'd certainly choose to stay in the palace. Now, so that's the situation we're in. A country under threat of attack, they elect quickly a good political leader, Claudius, to be king. Hamlet is sort of left on one side. Hamlet doesn't really... He's not really so fussed about the fact that he's not been made king. He's fussed about the fact that his mother has married his uncle very, very quickly. He's not looking at it from a political perspective. He's looking at it from a family, from a personal perspective. He resents it deeply. Now, before we turn to the moping Hamlet, all still dressed in black when the rest of the court has put off its mourning because there has been a wedding, Hamlet is still deliberately and very politically wearing black in mourning for his father. Claudius, before addressing Hamlet, because it is a difficult problem, first of all in the court of that day decides to address the question of the Polonius family and deals with Laertes first.
And now, Laertes, what's the news with you? You told us of some suit. What is't, Laertes? You cannot speak of reason to the Dane, and lose your voice. What wouldst thou beg, Laertes? That shall not be my offer, not thy asking.
My dread lord, your leave and favour to return to France, from whence thou willingly I came to Denmark to show my duty in your coronation. Yet now, I must confess, that duty done, my thoughts and wishes bend again toward France, and bow them to your gracious leave and pardon.
Have you your father's leave? What says Polonius?
He hath, my lord, wrung from me my slow leave by laboursome petition, and at last upon his will I sealed my hard consent. I do beseech you, give him leave to go.
Take thy Ferrara, Laertes, time be thine, and thy best graces spend it at thy will.
And that was Tommaso Quinigan, Sam Clark, and Daniel Fallon reading the roles of Claudius, Laertes, and Polonius. Now, it's an interesting observation on Claudius there, how clever he is. He wins everybody over. He's the perfect politician. He's the kind of guy going around saying, you will give me your number one, won't you? He embraces people with words. And now, Laertes, what's the suit with you? You told us of some suit. What is it? You cannot speak of reason to the Dane. He is the Dane. You cannot speak of reason to the Dane and lose your voice. Whatever you want, tell me what you want. See if I can help you out on this. He is everybody's friend. He's a very clever, astute guy. He's a smooth operator. So that Laertes suddenly is elevated in importance. This is a very important point for later in the play. Laertes feels that Claudius is on his side. Polonius says, he's wrung from me my slow leave. Polonius says, I don't want him to go. I'm not happy about him going. But if he insists on going, I suppose I'll have to let him go. Whereas Claudius is saying, off you go, enjoy yourself. You're young, have a great time in Paris. I was there when I was alive. It's that kind of attitude. So what Shakespeare's doing is demonstrating Claudius as a consummate and political operator. Now, having dealt with that, he turns to Hamlet and tries to deal with him. But again, he will begin this conversation with an incredibly clever and politic line.
But now, my cousin Hamlet and my son.
A very, very clever line to start with. But now, my cousin Hamlet and my son. Any member of the royal family would be addressed as cousin. It's one of the things they do. If you are directly related to the monarch, you address the monarch as cousin, and the monarch addresses you as cousin. So that's not unique, but he follows it with another line. And my son. To call Hamlet son is formally declaring that the question of succession, in other words, he's saying, I may be the king, but you'll be the next king after me. Don't worry about it. But he's also saying, you are now my son. The question of the marriage, of your father's death, is now over. I am married to your mother. You are now my son. So he begins the conversation almost by ending it.
A little more than kin and less than kind.
Now, Hamlet responds almost with a sort of a wry joke. A little more than kin and less than kind. What he's saying is, yes, I'm a little bit more than just your cousin. I'm the actual heir to the throne. And a little bit, I'm not true son, I'm little less than kind. I'm not your type. I'm not your son. I'm not like you. So what he does, Claudius opens the arms with this big and formal gesture, and Hamlet says, not a hope. Go away. Not interested.
How is it that the clouds still hang on you?
Not so, my lord. I'm too much of the sun.
Good Hamlet, cast thy nighted colour off, and let thine eye look like a friend on Denmark.
Now there's another interesting development. Shakespeare's taking us step by step into the complexity of this family. Hamlet again makes a little joke. Not so, my lord, I am too much in the sun. Claudius says, why are you all the clouds of misery hanging on you? He's saying, no, there's no clouds, I'm in the sun. I am too much in the sun. In fact, I am the son of the last king. Remember that.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.